Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Aaron Donick and Chase, Wednesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. In just a moment, we'll get Tony Kemp on. It's with the Oakland A's. Of course, Nashvillian, former Vanderbilt great. And we always look forward to our conversations with him. And we're going to go down several paths with Tony Kemp in just a moment here on the show. Adam Rittenberg coming up at 11 o'clock. At noon, we'll have Jeremy Fowler. And then at 1 o'clock, Chris Mason. And you're also going to hear from our incredible interview with Bob Costas yesterday on the program, in case you missed that. It is must listen to. It was a fantastic interview, and it goes in a long line of interviews we've had during these quarantine times where, I mean, we will always look back and remember some of these interviews, and that's going to be one of the memorable ones, the Bob Costas interview yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. He was fantastic, and really glad that we were able to get him on, because that's something that we've been working on for a while. But it was cool, and one of those in my career I'm going to remember.
No doubt about it. Let's say hello and good morning to one of our favorites. Tony Kemp is on the line. Tony, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for getting up and early with us. I know you baseball players typically don't get up in the a.m.
Hey, man, this the past couple weeks, I haven't been sleeping too much, man. I've been busy.
I know you have, and we're going to get to that. In all seriousness, before we get to that, how crazy has it been? You've been used to a routine, you know, professional athletes are creatures of habit, and this shutdown for you guys, how weird has it been to go through these quarantine times 3+ months now?
Yeah, it's definitely a big change, and obviously itching to get back on the diamond. But if I'm being candid with you, man, I've honestly been enjoying this time with my wife and my dog, and I have never been able to enjoy a summer like this at home. I've been talking to my wife. I'm like, man, I haven't had a summer off since I was 7 years old.
So
it's definitely weird, but honestly, I just think that God was like, hey, we need to slow things down as a society and just worry about ourselves. And yeah, so it's I'm trying to look on the positives of the coronavirus.
Amen to that. I think we all can take a little lesson from. We've seen now the slowed down version, and you know what? It's not so bad. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to use it in past tense because, by the way, we're still in it. But it's not been that bad, you know. And so we can sit back and now realize we don't have to maybe, you know, a different perspective is not a bad perspective moving forward. This is the way I look at it. So goodbye you.
I agree.
You've also decided during these difficult times in our society and in our country to use your platform, Tony, and speak out and talk about what a lot of people are feeling right now. Why did you choose to do that? You could have easily, as a professional athlete, sit back and just observe, but instead you decided to roll up your sleeves and get involved.
Yeah, I did an interview yesterday, and I don't want to be repetitive, but, you know, it's just how I feel. You know, there was a couple days there after the Floyd murder where I was just depressed. I think it was two straight days. I didn't get out of bed till about 2 or 3 p.m. And just processing everything that was going on, especially, you know, being a black man in America and, you know, what was going on. It was definitely something that I needed to process. And, you know, after I kind of picked myself up, that's where I tweeted out. You know, I was just sitting in the kitchen at the island, and, you know, I didn't know what kind of responses I would get. I didn't know what it would come of it. I didn't know if it was going to blow up how it blew up. But I just said, hey, if anybody wants to talk or be informed, you know, I'm here for it, because I know how I felt, and I know how depressed I was. And if somebody was going through that same thing, then I wanted to talk to somebody and say, hey, like, here, how are you going to move forward from this, or how can we learn from this? So, I mean, man, it was very informative to other people. I was able to educate a lot of people. I was able to talk about experiences with other people, and I'm happy I did it.
Was it easy or hard to talk about experiences?
Yeah, it's definitely draining, man. You know, I actually took a break from responding to people yesterday. I was talking to my wife, and she's like, we're sitting on the deck, and she's like, I think you need to take a day break of responding to people. And I said, you know what? I think you're right. I was in the shower the other day, and I just hunched over, like, hands on my knees, just, like, emotionally drained. You know, a lot of energy goes into doing things like this, but the past 2 days have been better for me, man. I'm back. Energy's back where it needs to be. But that's, you know, I'm willing to make that sacrifice for people. I'm willing to put myself out there in order to have somebody else better themselves and to have a perspective of how my life is and what I feel like.
What do you want the message to be, Tony?
Well, pretty much, I just want the message to be that, you know, we can all be this change in this world. And I don't want to jump ahead because I know you're probably going to talk about, you know, we're going to talk about the whole plus one effect. But that's what I want it to be. I want it to be, if you could take one person and you could change their perspective in a positive way of thinking and educate them in a way that they have never seen the world before, and they take that and they use it and they believe in it, and then they take that to the next person and they change that next person's mind. And, you know, that's how you slowly see change in the world. And, you know, I have a group text with about 10 or 11 of my uncles, cousins, my brothers in there, nephews, and, you know, they're all black men around America. And we kind of started talking about ideas. We had a Zoom call for about 4 hours, I want to say, a couple weeks ago, just bouncing ideas off each other of how we can keep momentum going, what we can do to you know, change this world. And my uncle is an engineer in St. Louis, a very intelligent guy. And, you know, he said, man, you know, it's kind of like a plus one effect. And right when he said that, I was like, I kind of like that. And so as we got to talking about ideas, I like didn't sleep that night. I think I went to sleep at maybe like 5 a.m. and I was just brainstorming ideas. I was on the computer. I was doing a bunch of different things. And, you know, next morning I went to my agency and I said, hey, I think we should do a T-shirt and have a movement of, you know, the plus one effect. Here's what it is. Let's do this and let's campaign for it. And, man, it's been a success so far.
We know because we've certainly talked about it on this show for many, many years. You know, the dwindling numbers of African-Americans playing the sport of baseball and trying to get them back involved in baseball. So you've been playing a sport where predominantly it was more probably white players were your teammates. So did you have experience? How was your experiences, you know, at the high school level at Vanderbilt, going through up through the minors and now you're in the bigs? How has baseball been? I'm very intrigued by the plus one, but let's go on the baseball side of things.
Yeah.
How's that journey been for you when it comes we're talking about?
Yeah, so growing up, obviously, I was the only black kid on every team, and honestly, it was a treat in my opinion. I mean, I felt special on most teams that I was the only one. With being the only black player, there was a little sense of urgency to be the best player because you are the only one and you want to fit in and you can't be the only black player and then you like suck. I felt like I was like, okay, if you're going to be the only guy on this team that looks like this, you better be better than everybody else. So for me, it always provided the fuel that I needed to just go out there and just give my best effort every day. And that's why I play the game. That's why I play the way I do, is just I want to play hard all the time because, you know, not only am I a baseball player, not only am I undersized, but I'm black as well. So there's a lot of things that go into it.
Talking to Tony Kemp, and I just tweeted it out, and we're going to have it retweeted by the game here, the info on the plus one effect. I think that's a great perspective, Tony. Tony, as you were talking, I recall a great experience that I feel like it was a gift to me to go through. As you were talking about your baseball experience, I, at one time when I was 15, I was the only white player on an all-black basketball team, and we were awesome. We won the state tournament, but it was a fantastic experience. I don't think I realized it at the time, you know, how important that could be for me, you know, that perspective, but it's probably not a perspective that a lot of people had, and I think I benefited that from that a lot. But I think that kind of opens the door. It kind of helps with this plus one effect that you're talking about, because maybe you and I might have an easier time because of our experiences to have these conversations, right, and be able to look at things for experiences that other people may not have had.
Right. Now, can I ask you about that experience of being the only white guy on the all-black team? Can I ask you? I've been asking about everybody's experience, and I know probably you didn't expect this, but like now that you brought it up, I have to know what that was like.
Well, it was an all-star team basically from from the Orlando area, Orlando, Florida, and so it wasn't with teammates of mine. It was all of us thrown together, so it was even more of a. We all had to get to know each other. There might have been one or two guys who played on the same school team. But we played pretty much all summer together. And, you know, you have to realize it, but I thought it was great how many of us by the end of the summer really got to know each other for a long time. There were some excellent players on that team, but it was so valuable to me. I had played with, I think, one before in some AAU tournaments when I was younger, but I always look back on that saying, man, I am so glad that happened. I felt like that was so valuable to me, not only because, you know, we were really good and we were winning, but, you know, the valuable relationships that you go through.
Yeah, I think also what's great about that is, you know, I think people understand teams, but like when you're on the team, man, it doesn't matter. You just want the best players out there. And yeah, I think that's an awesome experience that you went through, and I think that it's probably shaped you into the man that you are today.
Well, it's, you know what else too? Something you said rang true for me is you feel like, you know, you got to bring it. You know, you have to be good, or you don't want to be the guy that's dragging, right?
Yeah, for sure. You can't be the only guy of a different skin color and be dragging your feet. That doesn't work like that.
So we tweeted it out, Tony, but is there a website if people want to? Because I think the mindset is so important right now. And right now there's no games, right? So we're really delving into this mindset. That's another benefit of having the world stopped to a degree here. So I think this T-shirt can keep you in that mindset. So how do you get the T-shirt? It's a great way to start.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot it to Darren. But right now the URL is http://breakingtea.com/plus one. And plus one at the end is spelled out PLUS and the number one.
Got it. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So Tony, yeah. So we're going to get this going. Sure.
I appreciate that.
So meanwhile, you've got, you know, you're waiting to hear, I guess the saying of the players, you know, tell us when and where. And you know, you're one of many in your union. It's a very tight group of players. Are you hopeful? I guess is all I can say. I know there's not everything you can say about it, but are you hopeful that you'll get some good news here at some point soon so we can get this thing going?
Man, I sure hope so. I mean, the unfortunate thing was leaving spring training and when coronavirus hit, and once obviously the players agreed to have a prorated salary and the owners were deciding to cut that salary as well, man, we just, you know, we have a group chat with all the Oakland A's players and everybody was devastated, man. It's like, here we go again, and you want to say that it's not about money and you want to say it's not about these big owners, but man, at the end of the day it is, and that's the sad part is that's just the sad thing, man. I wish it didn't come down to things like this, but I'm hopeful. I mean, maybe it's looking like 50 or so games and, you know, we're going to chop it up to that for the 2020 season, but it's not looking too likely right now, but I'll have to keep you posted on that, but I'm still keeping my fingers crossed.
We're talking to Tony Kemp, of course, former Vandy player and now at the Oakland A's. here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And as we have established, Tony, you're a very honest person, and your responses are very well thought out. So we appreciate you for that. When you hear, though, fans' response to everything going on, that, you know, maybe they're mad at you guys as the players, they're mad at the owners, they're upset that there isn't a resolution. What is your response to the fans as they're trying to understand everything that you all are going through with this negotiation?
Well, it's always tough because, you know, once you get to this professional level, you make a good amount of money, correct? So, the biggest outcry here is, well, you make so and so amount of money, and you just need to play because, you know, the money is, you're already making enough money, so you should just go and play. But it's like, no. Like, let's get back to the fact that if you started a job and you signed a contract for that job, and then all of a sudden you get through that job and they say, we're going to cut this because a national pandemic hit, I don't think you would be too happy either. So that's kind of in the situation I try to tell fans of, like, hey, this is how we feel. It doesn't matter the amount of money you make. It's a matter of the principle of the contract that you sign. And now we're getting, that's getting slashed because of a national pandemic, which we don't think is fair.
Right. And I think that that's the hard part for people to understand, just with everything that's going on top of trying to find that escape, and baseball is the escape for a lot of people. It's just hard for them to understand. The thing that really stands out to me is just the distrust that's there between the owners and players. How do you guys think that you can work through getting that back? Because ultimately, for the future, I think that that's something that's going to be very important.
Yeah, man. And the scary thing is, man, our CBA is up in this next following year. So, our biggest stance, if I'm being just completely clear with you guys, is if we don't stand up for ourselves right now, the owners they're just going to walk all over us once this CBA is up. So if you don't have a backbone now, then when the new CBA comes, like, we're just going to get walked all over. So that's why the players are in the situation that we are in now, because it's just a sticky situation and it's a tough spot. So, we're just going to have to stand strong, man.
So you said 50 games, that's kind of what you're thinking. So is there's hope for you? You feel like that this is definitely going to happen? There's going to be somewhat of a season?
Hey, man, it's just like the bottom of the ninth, two outs. You know, there's always hope for a win, man. I'm always optimistic. I'm always on the positive side of things. So I'm always hopeful until the fat lady sings. So we'll just have to wait it out and see.
Have you been watching any of the documentaries? Let's end on a light note. Did you watch The Last Dance?
Dude, I watched The Last Dance. Me and my wife religiously were on that. I think one night I was downstairs in the man cave playing darts, and my wife comes down, and I didn't completely split my mind, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "The Last Dance on is in 10 minutes." And I go, "What?" and so, like, she was actually the one that was telling me that we need to get out there and watch it. And so it was a great documentary, very well done. It's awesome to get some insight from Michael and then his teammates and what it was like in the 90s. And, oh, man, what a inspirational documentary.
Gosh, after that story, maybe we need to get your wife on as a guest next time on the show. She's telling you about The Last Dance.
They want to know if you want to get an interview next time. She said she's hanging up the hammock right now.
Did you watch Long Gone Summer on Sunday?
You know what? I didn't, man. We went to Hilton Head to visit her grandmother. She's trying to sell her house out in Hilton Head, so I didn't get a chance to get around to it. We were traveling.
Not a bad place to be, for sure.
In
all seriousness, I've seen a lot of comments. What was cool to me is, like you said, you weren't sure what the responses you would get, and so many people, obviously on Twitter, most of the time you don't know where they are, where they're coming from. Clearly, outside of this market, just saying, "Man, Tony, you're so cool, and that's so awesome, and wow," and then to see all the Nash people from Middle Tennessee go, yeah, that's Tony Kemp, man. You just clearly you don't know him. Like that doesn't this none of this surprises us. Come on.
All right. No, it's man, it's been awesome. It honestly, truly is a blessing to, you know, I don't see myself. I never have seen myself as much of an activist or much of a, you know, guy. You know, I try to just usually keep to myself, tell it how it is, keep it honest, and I just like to shoot it straight. And yeah, man, it's been very nice to see all the support and all the fans, and you know, that's why I tell people when I'm out and about, and I'll get a tweet 10 minutes after I leave a store and say, hey, I saw you in the store. It's like, hey, you can, like, I am a human being. You can say hello to me. Like, it's not a bit, it's, so I just try to open it up to, you know, being genuine and, hey, I walk this earth just how you guys do. And, yeah, it's been great. And, you know, obviously I appreciate you guys for having me on always and supporting the campaign. It honestly does always mean a lot.
Well, keep up the good work. You and the wife continue to be safe. We'll get your message out on our platforms, the game, and our personal accounts. And it's always good. Yep, it's always good to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Anchor
all right. Thanks,
down.
Tony.
All right,
Tony Kemp. Yeah, we should have asked him about
anchor down.
We forgot about.
Wouldn't I be the most likely guy to throw an anchor down? To tell
I was say, how about Chase sneaking that in at the end?
We're bringing Chase on board to the Vandy boys.
I should have asked.
I've always been.
Well,
he's a
Vanderbilt fan. His dad's a huge Vanderbilt fan. We should have asked him about Corbs as a on MLB Network first round. We should have asked him what he thought about Tim on MLB Network. His coverage. Yeah.
That would have been good.
Good stuff from Tony.
You know what? Honestly, I'm ordering the T-shirts right now. It's such a great idea. Like, I challenge anybody to tell me that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, just the plus one effect. It's contagious, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about things that are contagious.
In these times,
right?
If you don't get that.
So that should ring. Right. Should resonate in your mind what that would be. But just, you know, rub off on somebody. You know, take your experiences, have a conversation with somebody, open up your mind a little bit. Nothing but good can come from that.
Yeah,
that's what happened. Mike Gundy, right? Is that hopefully where that goes? It's the same thing. We talked about it yesterday. They had a good discussion, and hopefully that leads to good things. Hopefully,
there's no doubt about it. Well, if you don't get that reference in these times, then I guess they're not going to get to you. If you don't get that during a pandemic, it is contagious, and you know, hopefully it catches on. Plus one. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.